98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Man, does this smell good.
Wolfen down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
Hey, boys.
All right, it is time for Wolfen down your lunch. I laugh every time I hear the intro when it's now that I know it's actually you ordering something in the drive-thru.
When his wife's in labor.
She sent me out, wanted me to go get it, as a matter of fact. Yes, honey.
That's Aaron Maloney, who's going to bring us Wolfen down your lunch right now. Aaron?
Vetter or Savannah?
That was Vetter James. Oh. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yes.
The Phoenix Suns won a franchise record 18th straight game with their victory over the Pistons last night. Here's Chris Paul.
It's exciting. You know, some of them, so long ago, you sort of forget. You remember a little bit of it. But to be on this journey with guys, having young guys, having rookies on the team who never experienced stuff like this, it is cool. And it's also cool that guys ain't, like, stressing about it either. You know, it's sort of just happening.
I love his answer. They're not stressing. They're not even thinking about it. It just kind of happened. So how impressive has this streak been?
This is the best part about it right here. Yeah, it's impressive. Are you kidding me? 18 games. We were talking about this yesterday. The fact they've almost gone a quarter of the season. It's almost a quarter of a season.
Yeah.
And they have not lost a game. That's unbelievable is what it is. I've enjoyed every second of it like everybody else, but the best part is the fact they're focusing on the process. It's 1-0, baby, just like the Arizona Cardinals. They're approaching it exactly like that, 1-0.
Luke, you had tweeted that we had Halloween and Thanksgiving,
yeah,
and now we're in December, looking to Christmas.
And they still haven't.
Still haven't lost. They haven't lost since those holidays.
They're going to just take us through all the holidays. They haven't lost since before Halloween.
And Hanukkah started. So,
yes.
You know what? This is crazy.
It's an unbelievable run. I think the best part is probably that they look so much better now than they did at the start of the streak when they were still winning games, but they didn't look quite as good as they do now. And the last three games, to beat Brooklyn in the second half of a back-to-back, to beat Golden State, and then to beat Detroit last night, which I get it's the Pistons, but you had to do it without Devin Booker. Even the Warriors game, you basically won that game without Devin Booker. I think the most impressive part for me is they are getting better.
Mm-hmm. But the Suns can't celebrate for too long. They have to gear up for an 8 o'clock tip-off at the Warriors tonight, which can be heard on 98.7 FM. Here's Cam Johnson.
A team that we just played and we beat at home, we get to go to their place, division game. There's a lot on the line, so you have to. This is what playing in the NBA is about, going into these environments with these implications. And granted, it's a December game, but it means a lot. You know, and it means a lot to us, and to continue this streak, and it's going to be a fun one.
Do you think the Suns can extend their streak tonight?
I actually do. This sort of feels like the sort of game where I was joking about it before. You're on an 18-game winning streak, and you're a 7-point underdog. I mean, how often do you get to be in that spot where Chris Paul, as you're walking out on the court, can be like, nobody believes we're going to win this game tonight, when you're on an 18-game winning streak? So I understand why Golden State is favored. It would not shock me at all if the Suns went out and won this game tonight.
Yeah, you know, honestly, right now, one of the things, just listening to Cam Johnson right there talk about this, one of the things I'm most impressed about is the way the Phoenix Suns collectively, not only individually, but collectively can manufacture desperation. You're talking about a very talented team once again, yet they're able to manufacture that intensity and that desperation, even after winning 18 games in a row. That is truly amazing. He's saying it means a lot. This is a big game. He's manufacturing that desperation. And I don't think, listening to him, that he's being disingenuous.
The Arizona Cardinals are gearing up to face the Bears on Sunday in what will be a very cold, windy, and wet day in Chicago. Have fun, Paul. Here's Vance Joseph.
Every game's different, obviously, but this team's a run-first team. I mean, they're top 10 running offense, so that's got to be part of our plan, you know, to get the run stopped. And obviously, if the weather is nasty and wet, I mean, that's where they should go with it. You know, but that's always a part of our plan to take away what they do best.
What do you think will be the key on Sunday in Chicago? Sorry for jumping on that, Wolf. I saw you were about to talk.
Oh, I'm going to say the line of scrimmage before Wolf can. You have to pick a different answer.
No. It really is. It's the line of scrimmage. Oh, my goodness. I've been pounding this for the last 2 hours, and I will continue to do it. But the Bears have a run rate. The run rate says how many times do you run the ball. The run rate of the Chicago Bears, 48% of the time they run the ball. 48. That's number 3 in the National Football League. The Arizona Cardinals, number 5 in the National Football League. This is going to be a game that is going to be played and won and lost on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I want to disagree, but I really can't. With the weather and that being really the only way Chicago can win and the fact that the Cardinals like to run anyway, I 100% agree with that this week.
It's sounding like the Cardinals will get 2 key pieces for their offense back, even though DeAndre Hopkins was not present at practice today. But here's NFL Network's Ian Rappaport.
Both of these guys, I am told, are expected back and to play for the Arizona Cardinals this week, barring some sort of setback. Now, for Kyler Murray, it has been a high ankle sprain that kept him on the sidelines for almost a month, 3 games, and then the bye week for DeAndre Hopkins. It has been a hamstring. You can see right here, D-Hop, pretty active on social media. He knows he is back in action, and barring some sort of something that could happen in practice, both of these guys should be back on Sunday in a big game for the Cardinals.
Do you think there will be an adjustment period for the Cardinals offense when they get back on the field?
The thing is, I think it's going to be tough to tell this week if the weather's really, if it's really what they're saying it's going to be. If this was just a normal game, I know Dak Prescott struggled in his first game back, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. I don't necessarily think that means Kyler Murray has to, but I think he could play well on Sunday, and we might not even fully be able to tell if it really is like an ugly 24-14 game or something.
Yeah, I do, honestly. I do expect there to be some type of adjustment that Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins will have to make because of the weather and how bad it is, but I also think, too, the expectation for Kyler Murray to come back and suddenly go out and have a quarterback rating of 100 or more in this game, I don't think that's very likely. And I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking more about some of the rust that I think he's got to knock off. Now, once again, if it happens, I won't be shocked. If Kyler goes out and plays great, has a quarterback rating of 125, I won't be shocked because it's Kyler Murray.
And guys, the Pac-12 championship is tonight in Las Vegas as the Utah Utes will face the Oregon Ducks at 6 p.m. So, Wolf, you are a professional athlete. How hard is it to beat a team twice in the last couple months?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Mal. It is very, very difficult. And the reason being, it's kind of like, look at the Golden State game tonight. The Warriors have been sitting around since Tuesday night stewing in the fact that the Phoenix Suns beat them to win their 17th game in a row at the time. Beat them to claim the best team in the league title. They've been sitting around now, and all of a sudden the Suns have got to go to their place and play that game. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's so difficult when you take two entities that are very, very similar, two entities that have experienced a lot of success, and you say the other one's got to beat one, two, or three times in a row. It's almost impossible.
So then are you saying you have Oregon tonight?
I do.
My response is go Ducks.
Yeah. Luke, who do you have?
You got set up Oregon. I think Oregon's more talented.
My response is go Ducks.
Okay, Utah's winning.
Okay. No,
just because
honestly,
I want Aaron to be sad tonight.
What a good friend. You're the one in the
book. Oh, my goodness.
It's so funny because I'm his manager.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like the best self-preservation.
My response is go Ducks.
Go Ducks.
Wonder if we'll hear from Rick anymore.
Hey, it was a little
may
rocky
need to find
right
a
there,
Rick
wasn't it?
Replacement.
Yeah, go Ducks.
Hey. Well,
that's
I
what
just
happens.
Disappear.
That's what happens when you bring up USC rumors.
All right, well, Oregon is 10th. I'm trying to figure out a way if they win it, they can move into the playoff, but it would take nine teams losing, and a lot of them play each other. That was Wolfing Down Your Lunch. Thank you, Aaron. When we come back, we'll see if Rick still is employed Rick, here at the radio station.
Time to play some Audio Slave.
DeAndre Ayton poured in 17 as the Suns won their 18th in a row last night. So, ready to pay him yet? That's next. Wolf and Luke on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
And Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Well, the good news is, for Rick at least, he seems to have survived through the break. See if he makes it through the whole show, but he made it through the break at least.
Well done, Rick.
So there you go.
Still here.
Good survival instincts. The Phoenix Suns get the win last night over the Detroit Pistons, 114-103. And Wolf, because it is the day after a game, you know it's time for...
Out on top, DeAndre Ayton, a three-pointer. Suzanne! DA for three.
Waiting on Ayton or pay DA. Wolf and Luke make a decision based on last night's game.
All right, what's popping?
Yes, it is America's fastest growing game show, Waiting on Ayton or Pay DA, based entirely on what DeAndre Ayton did in last night's game against the Pistons and nothing else. Wolf, are you willing to give DeAndre Ayton that max extension this offseason? If they come to you in the summer, James Jones is like, Wolf, we're going to make this decision. We got to decide right now. We only want to decide based entirely on that game on December 2nd against the Pistons, though.
Yeah.
What would you tell him?
You know what? Honestly, I went first last time, so why don't you go first on this? Are you waiting on Ayton, or are you going to pay DA?
I'm going to pay DA.
Pay DA.
17 points, 12 rebounds last night. Look, full disclosure, unless DeAndre Ayton is just absent from one of these games, kind of like the Knicks game and the Nets game, if the Suns are winning 18 in a row and he's contributing, and he absolutely did last night, yeah, I'm paying him.
You know what? I'm going to do the same. I'm
going to
PDA. I don't know. Do we necessarily have to cut myself off?
PDA.
I'm not doing it myself. That's interesting. I'm just getting cut off. I'm going to pay DA. That's what I'm going to do right there. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, wasn't like he was dominant. I wouldn't say he was dominant, but he showed. He flashed. There's no doubt about it. Is one of the reasons why they won the game.
The Atonic Bomb.
Makes it official when the Atonic Bomb is there.
Yeah, I know.
Last night was one of those games where it was sort of in a vacuum, would you go up to a guy, hey, you got 17 and 12, we're giving you a max deal?
Right.
Maybe not. But 17 and 12, contributing in a game where Devin Booker was out and you win your 18th in a row. Yeah. All things considered, there's not anybody else on the floor that does what he does. JaVale McGee was great last night. He brought that energy. Ayton does, though. He just has some plays in the game where you're like, I don't know if anybody else could have tipped that in.
Yeah.
Or nobody else is tall enough to bend that way and just kind of knock one in. So it wasn't like best game, but it was good enough.
There's always about two or three times up and down the floor on the defensive end and the offensive end. I go... Wouldn't that have felt great if you just would have gone up and ripped the ball down from the, you know what I mean?
Yo,
rip it down from the board or slam it home as opposed to doing this volleyball tap thing that he's got going.
He does have a bit of a finesse game.
He does.
You don't necessarily need to have.
He's really, really good at that. But man, we've talked about this many, many times. We all have talked about how many times we'd like to see DeAndre Ayton dunk a basketball as opposed to tipping it around. Feel that, right?
Tipping it around?
Yeah, tipping it around. Just tip it. I'm just going to tip this. I'm going to tip it in there. Oh, well, there it goes. You know, I mean, it's like Bob Ross. It's like listening to him paint when he used to paint. Used to. Paint. Listening to about we're just gonna go ahead and color these leaves a little bit right here.
Maybe there's a happy little hoop right here.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to tip it right here and tip it. Just grab the ball and go. slam it down.
Remember when guys used to break the backboards and
yes.
there'd be glass everywhere?
Yes.
Wouldn't that?
You can't do it anymore. You
no,
know
but it would be great if Ayton, if
I'm
we're in that era.
You can't do it because they made the backboard
yeah.
now. Yeah.
No, I understand.
Unbreakable. You get it?
Yeah, it's like
and I'd like to welcome you to the joy of painting. Let me extend a personal invitation for you to drag out your brushes and your paints and paint along with us. I think you'll enjoy it.
Listen, was Bob Ross a great painter, Basinonians? Yes. He was. He's not Van Gogh or something.
Glad
like
we answered that question.
Or Claude
today,
Monet, but I mean, he was a painter, a professional artist. Yes. Does it mean every painting was great? No.
This music is very soothing, though.
So was Bob Ross.
Was this Tunnel Time music or no?
No. This is the antithesis of Tunnel Time music right here.
So I just want to be clear.
This is good to paint forests and trees and flowers, meadows.
Do you think Van Gogh painted the way you want DeAndre Ayton to dunk?
You know what? No, I'm told that Van Gogh, of course, was a very angry painter.
Yeah,
and if you look at his paintings, you can see the anger.
He did cut his ear off.
I think alcohol was involved.
Oh, okay.
I think. Just a guess.
That was a little extreme. Maybe he doesn't need to go quite that far.
Settle down, Van.
Well, sorry to bring this back to Suns, you know, producing over here.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Do you remember Monty wired from the huddle during the playoffs?
Our ball. Okay, execute it. The eight. If he throws it, you got to, like, try to dunk it, okay?
I mean, that's Monty Williams right there. Think about that. Your head coach. D.A., you know, if he's going to throw it, you got to, like, try to dunk it.
Yeah, you know.
Our ball. Okay, execute it. D.A., if he throws it, you got to, like, try to dunk it, okay?
Take the ball.
Awesome right
slam
there.
It into the hoop, D.A.
I just, you know what, it feels good.
Okay, slam the ball, dunk.
Okay.
Slam the ball, dunk.
Right, okay.
Slam the ball, dunk.
All right, good.
I see you, D.A.
Wow. I forgot about that dunk, dunk. Do you still have that right there? We'd love to see DeAndre Ayton dunk. I love it.
Dunk, 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 dunk.
See, it matters to me. Once again, how you do something matters. That's the thing I think DA's got to totally understand and realize as to why he's got to dunk more. It matters. It's would you say it's an aggressive act?
Yes, I would.
Slam it down.
Absolutely.
Yes, of course. And again, you know, you want your opponent to understand this is not, we're not out here painting a forest. We're out here trying to win a basketball game and we're going to slam it down. And it's an aggressive act. It's competition at the NBA level. Are you kidding me? It's physical and it's aggressive.
It's an act of imposing your will on the other team.
That's exactly
it's very symbolic.
You have to do it. And the fact that DA doesn't understand that yet, I'm hoping at some point in time he will, max player or not, at some point he will say, man, you know what? This feels good. And dunk it.
We've had a few examples, audio examples, just during this segment that you really should pursue that career as a DJ. You need
why?
A name, though. I don't know. Just that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What do you mean, why?
Yeah. Aren't I already pursuing a career in broadcasting?
As a DJ, you know, like at a club.
Oh,
you know
DJ.
Those clubs you're always going to? You could be the guy up on the stage instead of the guy
oh,
dancing.
Oh, my goodness. I would suck so badly at that.
That in itself
Michael
would be great.
Junior.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, right. This I wouldn't suck at.
You might have ruined his career with that song, by
Michael
the way. I don't think
Porter
he's played since.
Junior.
He hasn't been on the floor.
Why would we play only a piece of that?
FCC regulations stipulate we can only play 3 seconds of you singing the Michael Porter Jr. song.
Okay, there we go.
All right, text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, which players
Michael
are going
Porter Jr.
to sway Sunday's Cardinals-Bears game? Fulcrum Football is next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It's part of the NFL. It's not easy. It's not easy to win in the NFL. Everybody want to win.
Who or what is the tipping point?
That's going to be key to our success.
This is
Fulcrum Football with Wolf and Luke.
Yeah, it is Fulcrum football. We didn't get to play this last week. I don't know about you, Wolf, but it threw off my entire week.
Yeah.
Point toss.
That and a shot of hot.
Yeah, we didn't get to do hot takes or Fulcrum football.
Look, it's tails. That's you.
Yeah, okay, perfect. All right, I will take... Well, let me give you the rules here of Fulcrum football. We're picking the players that are most likely to swing Sunday's game. It's not the best players. Try not to take the quarterbacks. Only one of us ever took quarterbacks. It was one game. We won't say which one of us, but it wasn't me that took Kyler Murray and Matthew Stafford in the Rams game. But the players most likely to sway the game on Sunday, one way or the other, could be Cardinals or Bears. I will go first, and I will take James Conner.
No, the Bears are what we thought they were.
How many times are we going to be hearing or thinking that this weekend?
Okay, listen, Basinonians. Fulcrum football, of course, it's all about the Arizona Cardinals controlling the line of scrimmage. So, having said that, on both sides of the ball, that the fact that it's all about the Arizona Cardinals and how they play this week, I'm taking Rodney Hudson. Oh, yeah, Rodney Hudson right now, the center for the Arizona Cardinals, going out there, getting everyone lined up correctly, getting everyone in communique, so to speak, being on the same page, running the same play, coming off the ball, being physical at the point of attack. I'm going to start with the team captain, Rodney Hudson.
I feel like your answer was good, and then you really kind of sold it. You were just trying to pander for extra points, even though there's no scoring here.
Okay.
That's a good answer, though.
Yeah, it was.
I'll stick with this because you and I are in lockstep that this is a game, especially with the weather and everything going on, the way the Bears play, this should be sort of just a line of scrimmage. You know, the Bears want to run sort of game. So I already have James Conner. May as well take David Montgomery.
We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull?
That was when the third preseason game really did hold a lot of clout to Denny's defense. Okay, I'm going to go... Who was it? David Montgomery you took right there?
Yeah.
5'10", 225. Bowling ball with ears. Okay, I'm going to go Corey Peters. Oh! How about that? Rodney Hudson, the center, ladies and gentlemen. Corey Peters, of course. The one technique, otherwise known as a nose tackle. Corey Peters. Because this game is about the Arizona Cardinals. It's about the Cardinals, not the Bears. It's about the Cardinals. And it's about the Cardinals controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. So I'm going to go Rodney Hudson, number one. Corey Peters, number two.
All right. I'm operating under the assumption that Kyler Murray is back for Sunday's game. And if that's the case, there's really one guy on the Bears I want nowhere near Kyler Murray, and that is Robert Quinn. So I'll take
We played him in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field.
By the way, when Paulie comes on, we got to ask him about that.
Was he in there?
Because, no, Paulie was the guy. He went right from knocking the microphone at the podium to walking off going right to Paul.
Yeah, we got to ask him.
That was awesome, right? Okay. Fulcrum football. Yeah, focus right here. Focus. Okay, I went Rodney Hudson, Corey Peters, one and two. I'm going to go DJ Humphreys.
Let's go!
Man, that was shocking. DJ Humphreys at left tackle, not only because of Robert Quinn, of course, but also because of coming off the ball on the line of scrimmage once again and forcibly removing somebody from the line of scrimmage. This is what this game is all about, and because of that, I will take the dog. I say the dog that DJ Humphreys is.
All right, there's no wrong answers here, certainly. That's a good pick.
Well, yeah, there are.
Well, yeah, but we haven't gotten any yet. We never give the wrong answers. I'm going to go with Cardinals defender. I'm going to go with Isaiah Simmons.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Based on that soundbite, I know it was a good pick. Yeah, look, Isaiah Simmons all over the place defensively. This just, you and I have very similar views on how this game will likely play out. And to your point, if the Cardinals can control the line of scrimmage, certainly bottle up the running game of the Chicago Bears, and Isaiah Simmons can play a role in that. You know, it sounds like Andy Dalton's going to start. He's certainly somebody that could take advantage of an Andy Dalton mistake in the passing game, too, in that weather. I probably will take Isaiah Simmons every week for the rest of the season, by the way.
Wow, okay. You know what? Honestly, I'm still going to continue with my theme. The Arizona Cardinals, it's about the Cardinals and how they're going to play coming off of the bye. And it's how they're going to play in particular on the line of scrimmage. And because of that, Zach Allen. Oh, yeah. Zach Allen has got to hold the point. He's got to focus on holding the point because the Chicago Bears are going to try to run the ball with David Montgomery between the tackles. Zach Allen, my next Fulcrum football player.
I'm going to go offense. I'm going to go skill position. We haven't taken a lot of skill position guys yet today. And so without knowing if DeAndre Hopkins is going to play, and we're hoping to get a little more clarity throughout the final hour of the show today, I'm going to go with the guy that NFL.com just took as the most reliable pass catcher in the NFL. Wolf, I'm going to go with Christian Kirk.
But they are who we thought they were.
Wow, that is good right there. You know what? Honestly, I mean, I could see the short game becoming part of it. And if you're going to go to some receiver, why not? Christian Kirk in the short game. He's got good routes that he runs. He's got quickness in a short area as well, and he's got dependable hands.
It feels like if this is going to be that ugly type of game, you're going to have a couple instances where it's a 3rd and 6. And Christian Kirk, again, not knowing if DeAndre Hopkins is going to play, he's not necessarily the chuck it down the sidelines to A.J. Green guy. You know, Rondale Moore would be a good answer, too, but I'm going to go with Christian Kirk.
You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to go with Marcus Golden. The Junkyard Dog. Marcus Golden. If ever there was a game that was going to be cut out or made for Marcus Golden, it's going to be Cardinals Bears at Soldier Field in December on Sunday. This is dog country right here, baby. Marcus Golden, hold the point, set the edge, because I guarantee you right now, here it comes. They're going to run the tackle zone. They're going to run David Montgomery on that play. They're also going to run power schemes. And that end man on the line of scrimmage is going to be kicked out a lot. Marcus Golden's got to be physical and hold that point. And that's something he typically does very, very well. Marcus Golden.
This is the deepest I think we've ever gone in Fulcrum football. We're now into the 6th round.
Yeah.
I'm being forced to take another Bear, and I'm just double-checking that he's going to play. He hasn't practiced all week, so this one is this is the only other Bears defender I really worry about from the Cardinals' perspective. But he hasn't practiced all week with a hamstring issue, but I'll still take him because it's the 6th round. I'll go with Roquan Smith.
Ooh. Can we let him off the hook?
Matt, I love Roquan. What a great mic backer he's turned into.
And that might swing things if he just doesn't even play.
Yeah, no, that's a big deal right there. Okay, I'm going to go with Darrell Daniels. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a shot out of a cannon.
Darrell Daniels, Basinonian, 6'3", 260 pounds. This guy is a pretty good blocking tight end. He's not an inline tight end. It's not like he's going to line up on a tackle's hip and suddenly start removing people from the line of scrimmage. But they use him a lot in terms of running the counter plays where he actually is leading up through a hole. He's a very physical guy, almost like a fullback. My theme has been the box. It's the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And because of that, I'm going Darrell Daniels.
All right, that was Fulcrum Football, Wolf. You went with Rodney Hudson, Corey Peters, DJ Humphreys, Zach Allen, Marcus Golden, Darrell Daniels. I went with James Conner, David Montgomery, Robert Quinn, Isaiah Simmons, Christian Kirk, and Roquan Smith. Remember?
This is football!
We used to do like 3 rounds. We just like motored through that one.
Damn.
We each took like 14 that. Players. All right. FanDuel FanFest, the biggest party in sports, heads to Westworld of Scottsdale December 11th. So head to the contest page on ArizonaSports.com for complete details and to claim your free tickets. When we come back, Phoenix Suns are going for consecutive win number 19 tonight. And if they do it, it'll be over the Golden State Warriors. Suns Warriors part 2. So who has to step up for Phoenix with no Devin Booker? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM. Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. A middle seat in coach. A first-class reclining suite with bottle service. Wolf and Luke.
Oh, if there was any sort of downside to the game last night, the Suns game. I don't want to be the like, hey, I got to find a downside for the sake of talking about it. But if there was a downside to the game last night, Wolf, it was the fact that they really could have used a game where they got to rest some of their starters.
No doubt.
And it looked like it. I mean, the first half they were up, what, 69 to 51 at halftime.
Well, it was one of the things I loved the most about that first quarter, I would say. They came out and they established their dominance, I would say, in the first quarter. The first half overall, they kept Detroit to 39% from the floor. Think about that now. I mean, that's playing some defense right there. 61% themselves they shot from the floor. That first half, they dominated that first half. As a matter of fact, the bench scored 35 points. The bench in the first half.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Wolf is dancing. That means it's time for the Arizona Sports Poll Question.
That wasn't dancing.
Oh. Who do you think needs to step up for the Suns to keep the streak alive against the Warriors without Booker? So your choices are Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, or other?
Okay.
This is easy.
Is it easy?
Yeah.
All right, you go first.
DeAndre Ayton.
Okay.
No doubt about it, man. Especially if James Wiseman's still out, correct?
Yeah, I haven't seen any Wiseman on here. Okay. He keeps almost being back.
But
yes.
You also kind of need Mikal Bridges to shut down Curry again.
Yeah, it's just I honestly don't think he's going to be able to do that once again, to shut down Steph twice.
What if he does?
What if he does? No, are you kidding me? Oh,
yes.
My good. Well, no, he already is on the all-defense team, if you ask me. But, oh, my goodness, that's inconceivable, I think, that he shuts down Steph up there again.
Well, he doesn't even have to shut him down. He just needs to limit him. I'm going to go with Mikal Bridges. I will say this. Jay Crowder, not an answer that I would even, like, think twice about, but they could use just a Jay Crowder 6-for-8 from 3 night. Where he just hits everything in this one.
Listen, let me just say this. DeAndre Ayton, once again, because James Wiseman is not going to play. You got Looney, who's 6'9", and then Draymond Green, who's 6'6". No, they cannot defend DeAndre Ayton. He's got to assert himself, the force that he's got to be inside that paint, if in fact the Suns are going to make it 19 wins in a row.
So 47% agree with you, Wolf. They say DeAndre Ayton. 16% say Mikal Bridges. 15% say other. 14% Jay Crowder. And 9% Chris Paul.
Wow, Chris Paul at the bottom of the list. That's surprising. All right. Thank you, Aaron. That was the poll question. You talk about Mikal Bridges specifically and the minutes he has played in the last four games. 39 against New York, 41 against James Harden and Brooklyn, 41 against Steph and Golden State, 41 last night against Detroit. I guess it reinforces just how important he is to this team. Monty Williams did not want to play him that much last night, ideally.
Is his minutes load just going to kind of need to be in the spot that it's in until you guys get healthier?
It's a good question. I mean, I wanted to get him out and not play him as much, but he got hairy in the third, and I trusted him. But I think there's, at some point I got to address that. And we try on off days. And look, it's still basketball. I mean, we're not practicing 2.5-3 hours a day anymore. You know, guys are the most we do now is in games, whereas back in the day we worked harder in practice than we did in the game. But he does log heavy minutes, and I'm aware of it. And he's guarding the best guy, offensive guy, every night. And so that's a tough task. It's something that I have thought about, though.
A difficult position if you're Monty Williams, right? Because look, I hate load management. I hate it. I hate, hey, we're gonna just sit this guy. Why? He can't play 82 games like everybody else can.
Right.
But I do understand the logic of it's an 82 game season. We were just in the finals, short off season. We want to go back to the finals this year. We may have to limit minutes. Not, hey, Mikal's just gonna sit tonight, but maybe Mikal doesn't play 41 minutes. But when you get in the heat of a game and you're Monty Williams and you look over on the bench for the few minutes he's there and you're like, well, Mikhail could help us win this game, well, then, yeah, I mean, I would put him in too, right? Because you know if you put him in, there's a pretty good chance he can come up with a big stop against the Pistons, as he did in the fourth quarter, and you're going to win the game.
One of the great things about it is just the fact Mikal Bridges wants to be out on the floor. The fact that he wants to be out there for 41 minutes in a game. The fact that he's got no problem doing it. You never see Mikal Bridges raising his hand. You never see him metaphorically raising his hand or talking about raising his hand. This is a guy that, once again, there are so many moving pieces to the Phoenix Suns. So many areas you can go. You talk about the starting five in and of itself. Each one is different and brings something a little bit different to the floor, to the formula, to the equation for the Phoenix Suns. It's so cool to see that. Yet at the same time, man, they're all the same when it comes to who they are. Even DeAndre Ayton is moving this way, and you can see it. You can see the culture of the Phoenix Suns grabbing DeAndre Ayton and his personality and moving it more towards the center, more towards a Mikal Bridges, more towards a Jay Crowder, more towards a Chris Paul and Devin Booker. You can see it,
yeah,
and you can also hear it when he talks.
I'd just like to reiterate, too, I'm glad they got that extension done with Bridges in the offseason. It kind of got overshadowed because it was like, well, if they're going to pay him, they haven't paid Ayton, and Ayton didn't get paid, and Mikal did, and Michael Porter Jr. and all these other... I'm just glad Mikal Bridges got paid.
That is a great point.
Because,
doesn't get talked about enough.
Mm-mm. He has 18 steals in the last four games. I'll just reiterate that. 18 steals in four games. And again, Two of those he was matched up against James Harden and Steph Curry, two of the toughest players in the NBA to cover. Steph Curry's got to be one of the hardest players in NBA history to cover, honestly, because he can just, there's not anywhere on the floor that he's not willing to shoot from and not capable of making a shot from. This is more from Monty Williams last night talking about the way the bench stepped up. You mentioned what they did in the first half, but just overall in the game, with no Devin Booker, other guys got to step up.
Look at the bench, you know, two guys with 19, and then JaVale does what JaVale does. I thought that was the key. You know, if you're going to have a guy like Book out, there has to be something that offsets it to a degree, and I thought it was the bench production tonight to have both Cams and JaVale have that kind of point production helped us.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to hear him talking about JaVale McGee. We were all fans of this when James Jones went out and signed JaVale McGee.
Yeah, during the Olympics.
We're all fans of this. There was no doubt about it. But I honestly didn't think he'd have this much impact. He is, and it's not just the tangible on the court. It's not just the defense. It's watching his offensive game blossom and grow as well. It's also, Luke, the intangibles that he's bringing. The way that he's setting an excellent example for DeAndre Ayton, and the way I see DA responding to JaVale McGee. And the intensity of JaVale McGee. Did you see him at the end of the first quarter? Yes, we talked about this earlier on the broadcast. He was just hammering away on his chest, screaming at the crowd to get him up. JaVale McGee finished that first quarter hard, and I thought that set the tone for the entire half. And they played really, really well in that first half. Now, again, they faltered. They had an 18-point lead, and suddenly it's 82-82 in the second half. But from that point forward, it was like, okay, I guess you're playing now. You really want to see it? Okay, I'll show it to you. And that's exactly what the Suns did. They finished the game.
What's nice about JaVale McGee is that outburst at the end of the first quarter. Don't you kind of get the sense that's always going to be there?
Yes.
Don't you get the sense that, because you're going to have, and it kind of gets skewed because we don't really have it on this team, but over the course of 82 games, you're going to have nights where your superstars are flat and they just kind of don't have it. And the shot's not falling. And it's just kind of like, all right, let's get to the next game. We'll get this fixed. It feels like, and we'll see this play out, but this is kind of what we have heard about JaVale McGee in the past, and honestly, why Chris Paul was so interested in bringing him over when they were beating the Nuggets and he was still out there playing hard at the end of games that were ultimately kind of meaningless minutes. He's always going to bring that. It feels like JaVale McGee is going to bring that 82 times this regular season. And if you're on his team, how can you not kind of help but get jump-started by that?
There's no doubt about it, man. I mean, this is going to be part of his role with the Phoenix Suns, who he is and what he does.
And he, I mean, he's got rings. He's the guy on the team that has the rings.
That's exactly right.
So are you going to go up to him and be like, hey, man, calm down. Come on. This is game 43. We got plenty more of these. He's going to be like, yeah, I'm the one with the rings, and you guys couldn't finish. So let's get this done. You follow JaVale McGee's lead in that regard.
You stop and think about it. Pau Gasol, he would sit there and tell some of the younger guys, you know, you've got to pace yourself during the regular season. You've got to pace yourself.
Hmm.
I'm thinking, do you think JaVale McGee would ever say that?
No. That's what I like about this team. They don't
pace
themselves.
That's what I mean. That's exactly right. I've got your load management.
Yeah. They frantically take any win they can get whenever they can get it. Like a team that's scrambling to make the playoffs, not a team that's won 18 in a row. That's they play hungry pretty much every night. Coming up, we're going to talk to Paul Calvisi, Arizona Cardinals sideline reporter. I'm sure Wolf won't bring up the weather that Paul's going to be standing in for 4 hours on Sunday. No, not at all. We're going to ask him about that Denny Green cut, too, as well. That's next, the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.